Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Heal Podcast. I'm Kelly Noonan Gorris, and every week I speak to the leading doctors, healers, spiritual teachers, and scientists to find out what is truly possible when it comes to healing. I also interview real people with extraordinary healing stories. My philosophy is, what's possible for one is possible for all. And I've discovered on my journey that so much more is possible than we can begin to imagine. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Heal Podcast. I am so excited for today's episode because it is going to be just so power-packed with possibility and inspiration and hope and faith and just... I am so excited to invite and welcome Christy Miller to the show. A little bit about Christy. She's a fun-loving, action-oriented business coach, motivational speaker, and author of The Playlist for Life. Her career has spanned roles as a financial analyst, corporate attorney, interior designer, and even an LA County sheriff. These diverse adventures were not just jobs, but stepping stones to her real calling, coaching others to believe that anything is possible and helping them overcome their fears so they can play to win in all areas of their lives. Christy lives in Southern California with her husband, Mark, whom she fell in love with during an unforgettable 72-hour blind date in 1987, and their beloved Labrador, Winnie. She was recently declared a radical remission miracle by Dr. Katie Deming, the conscious oncologist. Christy's journey is a powerful testament to her invincible spirit and the life-changing mindset techniques that she champions. And that is exactly why she is here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It is such an honor. And wow, the emotions are already coming.
And I mean, as they should, because this is truly... a remarkable story. And I guess let's just start at the beginning. We could start at the very beginning, but let's just, as far as the diagnosis in 2022, let's start there.
Yeah, I had found the breast guest, as I named her, in the shower. And immediately upon filling it, I knew. And this wasn't trying to get at the right level of anxiety. It was just, I had that deep knowing that this was breast cancer. And I remember we did the mammogram, we did the ultrasound, and then the biopsy. And I'm sitting in the doctor's office to get the biopsy results. And the doctor was very uncomfortable. It's still COVID, so masks are on. And she's just looking at me saying, well, we found a little bit of cancer. We don't find a little bit of cancer. And I just said, I know, what's the plan? Like, I already knew. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's create this action plan because I'm in it to win it. It's my job to live. My husband already lost his identical twin to pancreatic cancer, and he can't lose me now too. Mm. And so it was game on, the game of truly life.
Yeah. And that game that you've been playing since you came onto this planet, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about why you have this indomitable spirit and winning drive to win at life?
Sure. I was born premature, addicted to illegal drugs, not expected to live. And if I did live, severe learning disabilities and or mental challenges, which of course my husband will attest to my mental challenges. And I just believe I was put on this earth to teach people how to win and how to overcome obstacles. And was it my soul's choice? Was it predestined? I don't know. But I really do believe that that's why I'm here.
And as a baby, I mean, you didn't have the tools or language or wherewithal to know that you're a coach. You had a spirit. You had a
a spirit that said, I'm going to drown out the noise mm-hmm. and survive. And ever since, you haven't let anybody tell you what's possible with your life.
No, absolutely not. It's really interesting because I didn't even know that story of my birth until I would say about 10 or 15 years ago when I met my birth mom and she told me the story. Oh. And I mean, I knew that I was really sick. I knew that I had jaundice. They knew all that, but she told me the whole story. And it's really interesting because I wonder what would have been different if my whole world and family knew the story.
Right.
And I think my spirit still would have come through, but it could have been a different playing field.
Right. If limitations are known, mm-hmm. Perhaps it would have kept you in a little bit of a box or made right. you fearful of trying anything because you had these limitations so early on.
Exactly, because there's that place called reality and the place called possibility. And what I know for sure is I have visited reality once and I didn't care for it. So I changed my mailing address to the land of possibility. And that's how I roll.
Yeah. Okay, so lead me up a little bit about the cancer, you know, what you had just been through, like with your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And your adopted parents as well? Or no?
Yes. So my adopted mom, who I call mom, that would be mom, yeah. my mom and dad who raised me, she had been diagnosed with breast cancer shortly after I was adopted. And she was very strong Catholic. So she made a deal with God. You just gave me these two beautiful babies. Let me raise them. Because, you know, this is the 60s. Mm-hmm. The husbands didn't do it alone. And so the epitome of God giving her exactly what she asked for was 2 days after my wedding, it was revealed to me that she had terminal, I think it was liver and colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
And she just said, I'm just gonna make another deal. And I remember laughing and saying, hey, if this works, you gotta go into real estate because this is pretty incredible.
Wow, so what was that deal?
Well, she got 18 months. Okay. The doctors were telling her, this was in June, get your affairs in order. You will not see another Christmas.
Okay.
And so she had maybe an extended deal.
Yeah.
And we never had a good relationship, but watching how she fought cancer has made me now really feel proud of her.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't understand what she was doing. I didn't agree with it. But now I look back and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. And even just seeing Mike, my husband's identical twin, may he rest in peace, seeing him have cancer, and then my husband got diagnosed with testicular cancer as Mike was at the end of his battle, unless there was a miracle. And just seeing my husband's mindset. And I remember being at UCLA, getting ready for surgery, and all the interns and residents were coming in because it's a teaching hospital. And every person that came in, my husband shook their hand and said, Mark Miller, cancer survivor.
Oh, wow.
And the first time it didn't resonate. I didn't hear it. The second time he said it, I heard it. The third time he said it, I just started crying.
Wow.
And I said, who are you? And he says, I hear all your coaching calls. Because throughout my life as a coach, I have always talked about mindset. Mm-hmm. It's like, I hear your coaching calls. I mean, wow. I've manifested such incredible things in my life. So he's like, yeah, let's just go with survivor.
Wow. I mean,
beliefs are made up. Why not just make up some really good ones that serve us?
Wow. It's amazing to me because you know, and you can talk about the specific diagnosis, but you got, you know, a very aggressive form of breast cancer mm-hmm. in the wake of losing your mom to cancer, even though she mindsetted, right. you know, and did all the things to survive until she handed you off to, mm-hmm. to your partner, which is just remarkable to me.
Right.
And then, you know, having to deal with Mike, Mark's brother, mm-hmm. seeing that, like, you were so in the cancer journey around you with, and not a lot of, you know, it's scary. It's scary just on an island by itself, that yes. diagnosis for you, but then to have experienced it peripherally for so mm-hmm. long, it just compounds the fear. Mm-hmm. So how did you navigate that? Like, I know you're a survivor, you're a coach, your mindset. Right. Did you think in that moment, okay, this is my test so I can prove what I know? Or were you just like, you know, walk me through the roller coaster of emotions you went on?
Yeah, I had the holy word that you did not just say.
Yeah.
I am not one that will just ride unicorns over rainbows, even though I have a full-size unicorn in my family room. Part of my mindset is I have to go to the dark side and I have to see what's there. And I did that in dreams when Mark was diagnosed, and they were just ridiculous to the point where they were funny. And so when I got this diagnosis, which is so scary, I felt the feels. I let myself look at the very dark side, which is me dead. And then it was about 2 days later, I remember exactly where I was walking on the beach. And it was this light bulb moment, divine intervention. And I just had this full body feeling. Cancer is a gift. And I immediately, I usually don't have my phone with me on the beach, but because I had fainted a couple times in the weeks leading up to this diagnosis, Mark always said, when you go on your beach walks, take your phone. I instantly went and bought the URL, cancer is a gift. I couldn't believe it was available.
That's shocking to me.
Yes. And in that moment, my mindset shifted. I was like, okay, we've already gone to the dark side. We are not interested in that. It is my job to live. It is not fair for Mark to lose me. And that's where I went. Like, wow. Okay, let's see the end result. And the end result, I have this horrible picture. I took a picture of Mark and I and aged it. So we look like we are smokers for 30 decades. We look so horrible, but I'm like, look, there we are. We're alive in our 90s.
Yeah. It's like your vision board of us surviving together and
we're
thriving.
We're going to need some plastic surgery for sure. Or better skin
care. Hydration, I don't know.
Yeah, but I was, and then I'm looking at that and I'm laughing and I'm seeing that it's so true. Like, there is a way out of this, and it's going to take every ounce of my being and my belief and my manifestation.
Okay. I love it. I love it. And so I'd love for just, you know, we've had inspiring stories on the podcast before, you know, and I just think we need to hear stories of defying odds and overcoming statistics and examples of the mental fortitude it takes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just want to walk through everything you did to give people a roadmap so they can just come to this episode and go, I want to do what she does, and then lean into your inspiration. And because it's remarkable what you've been able to do in 2 years. But just, we're constantly inundated. And this is really one of the motivators of why I did heal. Mm-hmm. We subconsciously or consciously associate cancer with death. Mm-hmm. And we need to open the aperture, start to understand that there's multiple causes of cancer. And it's not just one cause, it's probably a holistic cause of why cancer is able to grow in the body. And it's emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. And we need more and more stories to lean into, to learn how to shift that terrain in our body so that cancer cannot exist. What I do love is that, you know, this divine download of cancer is a gift, and you had heard it enough before where people have survived or healed and then they look back and they wouldn't change a thing after they've gone through the fire. Now they're out of the fire. Easier said than done. And so truly our challenges in life, whether they be a daunting, terrifying diagnosis, a divorce, debilitating injury, loss of job, loss of relationship, loss of anything, you know, these challenges are, they have a gift, they have a blessing and so many lessons in them. So let's give people not only the blessing, but let's walk through what you did and how you navigated it. Like, just so people can practically have kind of a roadmap.
Sure.
It's specific to everybody. Not every cancer is the same. Mm-hmm. Not every person is the same. Not every diet works for every person. Like, we are truly individuals, and ultimately you're going to have to tap into your own intuition, listeners, viewers, and your connection with spirit, and that's never going to lead you astray. But it's also helpful to have examples to follow and try and experiment to see what resonates and works for you as well. So,
sure.
All right. So, what did you do, and walk us through kind of the challenging moments of like, oh, they're telling me I need to do this, but actually I'm kind of feeling that I want to try this.
Yes.
Which I commend anybody on this journey, because I know that they rush you into treatment, and there is just in the general protocols around oncology, there's an urgency, and it just pours gasoline on the fear. And so I'd love for you to touch on that as well.
Sure. It's the standard of scare, which is a high-speed treadmill that very few people can get off, because they do instill so much fear. And what I did almost immediately after the diagnosis was take 100% responsibility for this cancer. And that didn't mean that I was going to live in blame and shame. It was an empowering belief that if I welcomed this in, I can escort her out, which is why she was called the breast guest. She's not staying. And then later the brain guest. She wasn't staying either. So 100% responsibility. And then I really needed to listen to my intuition. And I didn't know that at the time. So I was all signed up for chemo. My husband had been to the wig shop by his office. I was starting to look at what would be the positives of chemo. Well, not having to do my hair, not having to shave my legs, all of those, you know, trying to figure out where is the silver lining here. And then there were three nights in a row where I woke up in the middle of the night with an F no. I think I might have even screamed it out loud. And the first night, I got shaky and chills.
Yeah.
The first night, I just assumed, okay, you're scared. You're going to be so sick. You're going to look sick. And so I was like, okay, these are normal feelings. Second night, it happened again. Third night, it happened again. And I remember calling my husband that day and saying, I don't want to do chemo. And he said, I support you 100%. And he had chosen chemo. It was two doses for him, and he just wanted to do it. For him, it was peace of mind, even though at the time I was like, oh, please don't do chemo. I mean, I'm here to support you in whatever your decision is, but I'm going to give you all the evidence both ways. And so it was really interesting to me that the standard of scare got me on that treadmill, and I was going for it. I was going for it. So the first thing was, you know, taking ownership, listening to my intuition, and then being very clear about how I wanted to tell my story, when I wanted to tell my story, who earned a right on my winning team, and just setting this out that this was my game. I will have teammates, but I am ultimately the captain of this team. The doctors are not the captains. The doctors are needing to earn their spot on my team.
Right. And be aligned. And and I just want to, you know, qualify, like, and we can touch on this, you know, like I said, this is not to promote, you know, deciding not to do chemo.
Right.
This is about everybody tuning into what their truth is. And I truly believe that what people believe, and based on their upbringing, based on their culture, based on the awareness that they've been exposed to, you really have to follow what you believe is true. So even if someone believes that conventional medicine is the only way out and is listening to this and might abandon themselves to do this, if they're not fully convicted, it's not the right. They have to do what they feel in their heart is for them, based on their beliefs in what is going to work, because that belief is what is going to create the space and energy for healing.
100%. There is not one right way to win the battle of cancer, but there is a right way for each person and it's within your own belief system, for sure. I think that's such an important point to make, because even though I am anti-chemo as part of my journey,
based on what you know and what you've learned and what resonates with you,
exactly, that this is the right decision for me. In fact, it was interesting because I was asked after the brain guest was diagnosed if I regretted my decision not to do chemo.
Oof.
Yeah. And my response was absolutely not. This makes me know that that was the right decision, because if this diagnosis came up, and from what I've read, 30% of women with the breast cancer that I had, it shows up in their brain.
And which is the breast cancer, just so people
can... HER2 positive.
Okay.
So, and it shows up whether they've done chemo or not, because the chemo can't cross the blood-brain barrier.
Okay, well then that question that he asked was, or that person asked you, was irrelevant, Your Honor.
Yes, and I didn't even, I didn't even know that at the time. I've learned so much. Yeah. And so it's just solidified from the place of, if this diagnosis had come up after chemo, when my immune system is just annihilated, where would I be right now? And one thing that always brings me reassurance is I've used a lot of tools, but I've probably used 15, 20% of the tools available. Mm. And so I know there's this huge toolkit that I can go grab if I need more.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it perfectly. Not even close, but I did it my way.
Yeah, and you have to do trial by fire, unfortunately, to find your way, because there is no one size fits all. Before we get into just actually the things you did, like diet and mindset and you know, the alternatives, the holistic approach, alternative to chemo, tell me that example of picking the doctor that's on your team, and maybe like a contrast of like knowing that one was not going to be on your team, just so to empower people to say, no, this is, you are hiring the doctor, you know, and even if they're the number one oncologist in this county or who, you know, you have to really tune in, because that you have to feel that support and that trust in how you do things. And you want a doctor that's open and willing to see your way and hear your intuition.
And I think it's almost like love at first sight. When you know, you know. So I went through, I think, 4 interviews with different surgeons about what are we going to do. This is after I have decided that I'm not going to do chemo. And originally I was told then double mastectomy. I was like, I don't care. I'm saving my life.
Yeah.
But I didn't like that doctor. It didn't feel right. So I just kept going to others and others. And I had one doctor who said, I can do a lumpectomy. You're going to lose your nipple. But if you don't do chemo, you're going to be dead in a year. I was like, okay, well, this is not my doctor.
Making progress. We're a little bit better.
Exit stage left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went through a series of doctors. And then my doctor had said, the only way I can get even close to being comfortable with you not doing chemo is if you go to the Bedford Center, which is up here right around the corner. And when I walked in, it was like the heavens opened, the angels sang, I knew I was home.
Wow.
And I knew the oncology surgeon, who we called the evictor, because he's evicting the breast guest, and the plastic surgeon, the remodeler.
I love it.
I knew that these were my ladies. And I felt so comfortable. There was never a doubt. And I was there. And it was the same thing with finding my brain surgeon. However, I found my brain surgeon first shot, like just nailed it. And I went in not allowing him to look at my scans until I told him my story. Wow. And I said, I started out with birth and I was very emotional. And I said, I am here to find a doctor who plays to win. If that's you, you may be welcome onto my team. And he just went into the whole, I hate losing, this. And I looked at my husband, I winked. We didn't interview another doctor. I just knew.
I love that. So you decide not to do chemo. The 3F no's finally landed. Which is good. It's good that you don't, you know, it's really hard, even if you're, you know, have been practicing meditation or listening to your intuition for a long time, or have done the healing work, that your intuitive voice is much clearer. Mm-hmm. It's still very hard when you're in a fear situation to discern what is fear and what is my intuition. And so, you know, it might take 3 times, it might take 5 times to really get the message and to really have it land in your body and go, okay, I know this is a knowing. So you have that knowing, where do you go next? What are you going to do to evict the guest and make sure they're, you know, not welcome back?
I just kept asking God, universe, spirit. I call this collective Gus. Asking me.
I love that. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Show me the signs. Show me the path. Show me the road. And I remember talking to my awesome right-hand woman and dear friend, Jane. I said, go find me Hal Elrod's podcast episode where he talked about his super aggressive chemo. She found it. It was episode 211. My birthday is 211. Wow. He mentioned Chris Wark at Chris Beat Cancer. Chris, Christy, 211. So I immediately went to Chris Wark's website and purchased his program. And it's all about everything you're talking about. Having the faith, going vegan, juicing, meditating, removing toxins from your home, forgiving, all of that. And I was like, okay, this is the path. And this was such a complete change of how I was eating. With COVID, my three of my four food groups were sugar, French fries, and alcohol. And July 1st of 2022, it all changed. So I got diagnosed on the 20th. July 1st, everything changed.
Wow.
And we are now over 600 days of no alcohol, no sugar, and no fried foods.
Oh, you must feel amazing.
Yeah, I feel pretty darn good. Yeah.
Pardon the interruption, but I want to thank the awesome sponsor of this inspiring episode, Just Thrive. I know there are a million supplement companies out there, but after interviewing Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, about why she started the company and the science behind the products, I became a total believer in Just Thrive. Their probiotic is their keystone product, and it is clinically proven to be so effective that it addresses and begins to heal leaky gut in just 30 days. According to research, 99.9% of the probiotics on the market die in your naturally harsh stomach acid before they get to where they're needed, even the refrigerated ones. I mean, think about it. How can a probiotic survive our 98.6 degree bodies if it can't withstand room temperature? Just Thrive's proprietary strains have been third-party, clinically tested, and proven to arrive 100% alive in your gut. And what's more, the Just Thrive probiotics are antibiotic resistant, so it's super important to take them during a course of antibiotics or after a course of them to heal and rebalance the flora in your gut. My two other favorite products are Just Calm and the Just Thrive probiotic in gummy form that my daughter Riley takes every day. The gummies are clean and just as effective as the capsules, so I can rest easy knowing my almost 5-year-old daughter's gut is balanced and healthy. Just Calm has been a game changer for me these days as stress has been a little higher than normal. Just Calm is made from a proprietary mood or brain probiotic that is the most heavily researched and verified on the market. If you're ready to take control and live your healthiest life yet, you can get 20% off your first 90-day bottle of Just Calm and Just Thrive probiotics today. Visit justthrivehealth.com and use promo code HEAL. That's H-E-A-L. While you're there, check out all their other clinically backed products. And don't miss the episode where I interview founder Tina Anderson to learn more about this groundbreaking company. Take control today with Just Thrive. Okay, so, and it sounds like he just had the kind of holistic roadmap, so he walks people through forgiving. Like, just tell us some of your realizations through that framework that really was like, oh, this is a must. Like, this forgiveness tool or this moment or this, you know, realization about toxins I wasn't even aware of. Like, just so the listener, the viewer can, you know, make sure that they're not missing that.
Sure. So the first thing that I had to do is forgive myself. So what decisions have I made in my life? What trauma have I been involved in that I didn't heal from? Forgive myself for whatever my part was in that, and accept that there are lessons and that this is a journey. So that was a big one. I think we all have those dark things in our closets. That was huge. Mm. And then I realized the deeper forgiveness, or the forgiveness that would be harder for me, was to forgive my mom. Mm. Not the birth mom that did drugs while she was pregnant. I'm so grateful for her. Forgive my adopted mom, who always made it clear that I was not good enough, who always compared our family to other families, who the first time she met my husband, she pulled me aside and said, "He's too good for you, you're gonna blow it." Yeah. I had to forgive her. And the pathology report was dated on our 33rd anniversary. I did not see it. My meeting with the doctor to get the results that this was in fact a little bit of cancer was on the 33rd anniversary of me being told that my mom had terminal cancer.
Wow.
And at first I didn't know if that was a screw you or if it was a don't worry, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm here 100% for you. And I got you. Mm. I chose that belief.
Yeah.
And so I just went through so much forgiveness and so much empathy and understanding, like looking back at her childhood, looking at everything that she went through that I knew of, and totally seeing how all of these things came to play. And it wasn't my story. This was her I'm not enoughs that were getting pushed on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that deep forgiveness, writing letters, and then burning them and just purging all of that. And now I can tell the story and I have such deep love and deep empathy mm-hmm. for mom. And I know she's here guiding me. Even though I'm doing it the complete different way than she did, she's here guiding me.
Wow. It's beautiful. So you're healing. Walk me on like the journey of like the tests you're getting back, and you know, was the breast gas gone after surgery? And then and just kind of what continued after that, and then how you discovered the brain gas.
Sure. So in surgery, well, pre-surgery, I visualized how everything was going to go. Now, sometimes it doesn't quite go the way we want it to. And so my visualization was the surgery went really well. I'm healing really well. It's a beautiful result. And there's no cancer in any of the lymph nodes. Well, one of JJ, we had named the breast guest JJ, one of JJ's little friends got out and was caught by a lymph node. And that was devastating to me because I'm like, okay, this means that she's trying to get throughout my body. But I had another doctor say, that's what your lymph nodes are supposed to do. Mm. They caught her. So I'm like, ooh, I like that story. So I continued to do the 95% whole foods, raw vegan. I'm juicing 100 ounces a day of green juice and carrot juice, which you can see I'm still a little bit orange to this day because I'm still doing it. I just slowed my life down so much, took a back seat in my business, was only doing the things that I needed to do. Like I'm the coach, okay, I need to show up for coaching calls, but everything else. And the business, you know, it flatlined. And I'm like, that's okay. I have something more important that I'm supposed to be working on, me. So it was complete nutrition, slowing down, walking in nature every single day, and just connecting to the energy, being incredibly grateful for the silliest little things. Winnie, our black lab, loves to jump up on the bed at 4 a.m. and give kisses and wake us up because she wants her breakfast and she wants to go for a walk. While that used to, I don't want to say anger me, but upset me, now if she does it, I just start giggling. And I'm so grateful for this beautiful being that we have the luxury of having. Mm. So incredible gratitude. Being very clear on how people could support me. So I released the first blog about this and first email the day I was going into surgery. So none of my clients, none of my community knew. And I was very clear in the blog about how to support me. My language of love is cards. Here's my P.O. box, send me a card. And do not tell me about a person you know who has died of cancer. And I used to do that. You know, we don't realize, like, we're trying to connect. But I'm like, no, you are on my team. You need to cheer me on. You need to support me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it because I'm going to start taking on all those feelings. Mm. And I think that was one of the most important things that I did. And it didn't prevent that from coming in. I was having an elbow issue for a long time, and somebody I knew on Facebook sent me this long message about, I need to be really careful because my type of cancer likes to go to the bones. And her best friend, shortly after she was cleared of cancer, same cancer I had, had a pain in her femur, and she was dead a few months later.
Oh my Lord. Now your elbow's hurting and you're like, okay.
I'm like, no, this is from lifting up Lee Crusade pots with one hand for my coffee enemas. Like, this is not cancer, but it gets in your head. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go back into seeing this fully healed. It still flashes up every now and then, but it's not bone cancer. Mm-hmm. So I just kept going on my journey, fully believing that I'm taking another step every day and I'm healing, and that I see Mark and I in our 90s. And then I did a Prenuvo scan. Mm-hmm. I know you've done them too. This was my second one. And I did it because we had done a scan and there were some spots in the lungs. And I'd done the scan at UCLA. And they had said, come back, we can't really tell what it is, come back in 3 months or go get a biopsy. And I'm like, I'm not doing any of that, because even if it is something, I'm not gonna do chemo. So there's really no point. So I did a Prenuvo scan. What was interesting about the scan is the spot that was in my spine, which was found originally with the breast cast, that was gone. The spots in the lungs are there. But there's a brain guest. And so I believe that my choice to invest in my own health with this scan that's not covered by insurance saved my life. Mm-hmm. And it was just so interesting to see that some of the disease that was there before is now gone, because that reassured me, okay, what I'm doing is working. Although someone asked me, how do you know if it's working if you now have the brain tumor? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm just going to believe it's working. And this is just, there's another piece to the story. There's more lessons I'm supposed to learn. There's more doors that are supposed to open. I'm just trusting. But I went to the dark side also with the brain gas.
You got to feel the feels.
Yeah, for a solid 2 days.
Wow.
In the darkness. Because at that point I was 58 and my husband had lost his identical twin at 59. Mm. And I'm like, oh, no. No more of this weird twin stuff. He's not going to lose his wife when she's 59.
Wow. And so how do you pull yourself out of the dark?
I feel it. Like, if I didn't feel it, if I was just on the unicorn riding over rainbows, it would be false positivity. Mm. And so I looked for proof. I mean, your documentary, that thing saved me early on after I made the decision not to do chemo. Mm. So thank you for Heal. It's looking for proof to the possibility, because I believe in the bar method, and not the exercise bar method, but believe, act, receive. Mm. And so how am I going to believe that I can get through this too? I'm going to look at everything I've manifested in my life. I'm going to look at all the obstacles I have overcome, that right there. And then I'm going to look for studies, and I'm not going to latch onto the study that says I could be dead in 2 months. I'm going to latch on to the studies of radical remission, of miracles. And if it's happened for someone else, why can't it happen for me?
Can I just ask you how you found those studies? Because Google is a nightmare. Like, there's so, all those top pages are bought and paid for by big pharma and big everything. So, like, how do you find the studies that actually are inspiring?
Sure. Tenacity.
Okay.
And not giving up. So when I decided not to do chemo for the breast cast, I found some study from Japan, and it was a small study. I think it might have been 26 women, and it showed the difference between women that had HER2 positive breast cancer who did chemo and the ones that didn't. The survival rate difference was 2.3% or something like that. That's the way I remember it now. Mm-hmm. It might have been a little lower or a little bit higher. And I'm like, okay, there's that proof. Mm-hmm. And then I just went into researching people that have had brain cancer, which we're assuming is the metastatic breast cancer. Okay, let's find people that have lived. All right, 5 years, 7 years. Okay, they've lived. I just need to get through every day of living and believing and feeling great. I don't know if somebody has lived 40, 50, 60 years, but I know I'm going to. Why not Christy Miller?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, you pull yourself out of the darkness. You've got the proof. Walk us through. You're still staying on the protocol, obviously, because there's still work to be done. Mm-hmm. Guests to evict.
Yep.
You know, I guess walk us through the brain surgery and sure. all. Like, that seems like a pretty massive thing, you know?
It's massive, and I decided to make it fun. I go through life with childlike curiosity and wonder. In fact, that unicorn in my family room, her name is Wonder. Oh. And each morning I hug her, and I ask her to show me the possibilities. And I say, I wonder what today will be about. And so once I found the surgeon, and we were gonna do what's called Gamma Knife. And I did all the research. I told my inner circle, again, my community did not know, just my close inner circle. And I told them what I needed. They did an intention circle with 30 of my mastermind brothers and sisters the morning of my surgery. I was able to watch it pre-surgery and listen to it in surgery. And I just decided that I was gonna document this whole process and really live with this curiosity and this belief that everything is going to be okay. I had Manifesting Miracles socks on my feet. You could read them when I was in the surgery. I had crystals in my hand, and I was just there to believe that we are going to get the most perfect result, which the result I got, I didn't know that wasn't normal. I got the result that I was seeing in my mind. I didn't know that two doctors didn't expect that result.
Wow.
That was a bit shocking to me.
Wow. And so when do you get that result? Immediately or 2 weeks later?
No. Apparently with the Gamma Knife surgery, it takes 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 4 years, 5 years, 8 years for the full effect to come out. So I ended up doing a follow-up brain scan, I think it was in February, and then got the results a week later. And I remember my husband and I were both in the room. We were at home. We were supposed to have a Zoom meeting, but the doctor's Zoom wasn't working. And so it was just on the phone. I had it on speakerphone. We couldn't hear it very well. But he basically said, you know, this is a win. This is not what I normally see. I don't remember his exact words. I have notes at home. And even then, it didn't have the impact on me. My other doctor, Katie, the conscious oncologist, who I know you're going to have on your show, it was when she was so crystal clear that these are not normal results. And then a week ago Saturday, she read all my scans. And that was when she texted me and said, this is a radical remission. And there is so much heaviness that comes with that.
Wow. So she, when did you start working with Dr. Deming?
I worked with her almost immediately after the brain guest was diagnosed.
Okay.
Because I was on this 4-year wait list to get into this really amazing shaman. And when I told his wife about the brain guest, I was kind of thinking, well, maybe stage 4 gets you to the top of the wait list. Mm-hmm. And she said, you have to work with our soul sister, Dr. Katie.
Wow.
And so it was just hearing that, I trusted and I went with it. And there was such a deep connection between Dr. Katie and I that I just knew this was another piece. And one of the things that she had me do after surgery, so I had the surgery. the next day, my husband drove me to Arizona to be with my mastermind brothers and sisters, not to learn anything, just to soak up and feel the love. And then a couple weeks later, I got COVID. Wow. First timer, and it hit me hard.
When is this?
This is in December. So
of 2023?
Early December. Yes, 23.
Okay. Yeah.
Early December, it hits me so hard, and it was such a disappointment because we were supposed to leave for Cabo 2 days later, and I got the diagnosis. I'm like, oh, I can't go. And I'm talking to Dr. Katie. I still remember being on Zoom, and she says, I want you to do a 30-day water fast. It felt like a punch to the gut. Here I am. I've been through so much. 30-day water fast. And I'm pretty sure I was crying and said, I feel so defeated. She's like, well, I started yesterday. I'll do it with you. I'm like, oh, okay, game on. And she started on the water fast. Her body told her in no uncertain terms, like, you need to stop. I kept going and I got to the 10 days and I felt, you know, you feel how you feel when you're not eating for 10 days. This is water only.
Wow.
And I felt like, okay, I can go 14. And she's telling me, the shaman has said, you can cure cancer in 10 days. You can quit now. And I'm like, nope, I feel good. I'm going to keep going. The original goal was 30. Let me see how I feel at 14. At 14, I felt good. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get to 17. Because 17 is my angel number. I see it all the time. I'm going to get to 17. And I would like to break the fast on day 18 because I want a week to do the proper refeeding. As Dr. Mindy talks about, you can't just fast and then go have a burger and fries, which I wouldn't have anyway, because I want to go to our favorite restaurant called 555 on my 555th day of no sugar, no alcohol, and no fried foods.
Wow.
And so she was like, I told you you could have stopped at 10 days. And I really do believe that that was one of the things that also contributed to what she has declared a radical remission.
So that was in around December. You did those over maybe perhaps the new year. And then you got that scan in February. And a week later, they were like, wow. And she declared you just recently.
Just a week ago. Okay. Just a week ago.
So what happened between, like, what, she just saw those scans or there's a new scan?
Yeah, okay. No, she said that she wanted to see the scan. And so I had to request it from the hospital. And then, you know, it just takes a while.
Time.
And then they said they sent it to me. I didn't realize I was looking in the wrong place. And then, you know, I just kind of forgot about it. Like, I'm good. And then I sent it to her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, wow.
I have to pull up this, exactly what you said. Yeah. So she sent you this message. Oh, my God, this is crazy. I have never seen a result like this from SBRT. This is a radical remission. Congrats to you. You really are a master manifester. This is incredible. There is nothing in there. Nothing. I mean, that's insane. That's amazing. So you truly have done, I mean, this is in 2 years' time, a breast guess, a brain guess, you know, both very aggressive and terrifying.
Yeah. And part of it was the visualization. When I got the pre-nuvo results and saw that my non-alcoholic fatty liver disease that was diagnosed the year before that I didn't know I had reversed itself, I saw how on their reports they talk about a follow-up if there's something that's no longer there. And so I took the current report and I just doctored it up and dated it June 17th, 2024. With the lung spots are gone and the brain guest is gone. And I did this 2 days after the diagnosis. I don't know. There's something about 48 hours. I
full chills in my whole body.
And I sent it to my husband and the subject line was future pre-nuvo results. And he's reading it. He's like, "What? I don't get this." I'm like, sweetie, I doctored it up. These are the results we're going to get. And it's June 17th, 2024, which is our anniversary. And I don't even need a scan that day. I don't, because I am living into this. I'm walking into this. I'm believing in this. And the power of Gus and the power of community and energy and 5D and all of that.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So you have obviously this incredible mindset, a lifetime of just, obviously your spirit came in here resilient mm-hmm. based on the things you've chosen for yourself mm-hmm. on a soul level. What do you say to, you know, as if all the listeners, viewers are your coaching clients, mm-hmm. What do you say to someone that, you know, may not have the resilience, built-in resilience or mindset that you have? What are three things that you would say to them to give them a nitro boost back into possibility?
Sure. The first thing is to believe that it's possible. Whatever proof you need to go get, survival stories, grab that proof. And it's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to know. And this is where all the work gets done, whether it's visualizations, writing affirmations, whatever it is, and there's some magical period, and I don't know where it is, but I had such a deep knowing with the breast guest that this was going to be part of my story and not the end of it. Wow. And so it's, again, beliefs are made up. So believe in the possibility, go get as much proof as you want, and then start seeing yourself at that finish line. And my finish line is decades and decades and decades away. I know there's so much more I'm supposed to do on this planet, and I'm not done yet. And I think that's, tap into the people that you love, tap into your purpose. What is your purpose in life? And this has just made it so crystal clear that apparently I knew my purpose coming into life, but somehow it got convoluted and we did this sheriff thing and lawyer thing and all of that. My purpose is here to spread joy, spread possibility, spread hope, and help people develop that resilience. Every single person can develop resilience. It's about deciding that they want to. Mm-hmm. And then just knowing your why power. My why power is so deep. Dying is not an option. That's just not fair to Mark. Yeah. And I hear so many people in the cancer world say, why me? At the beginning of my journey, I never said, why me? I never said it wasn't fair, except when I was thinking about Mark losing me. That would not be fair. However, when I got the radical remission, I was telling a dear friend, and I said, the first thing I thought was, why me?
Wow.
Yeah. Why me? And that just pulled up every thought, every belief, every bit of strength to explain to myself. I got up and went in the mirror, and I had to have a discussion just like this, looking into my eyes, telling me all the reasons, why me?
Yeah.
I'm not done yet. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be telling this story. It's time to get loud.
Yeah, good. Yeah, why not you?
Right.
And why not you? And why, you know, if it is hard to find proof, like, why not that be your story?
Right.
That what, like Anita Morjani, mm-hmm. who, you know, Wayne Dyer just happened to find, you know, because of her NED.
Yeah.
And your story. I mean, you were hit with two mm-hmm. really scary mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. What I love about this story is I didn't get pushed all the way to where Anita was. Like, I wasn't pushed into the, she's in a coma, she's dying, this is it, mm-hmm. and having to make that decision. Somehow I was chosen to have this result and be in the possibility. And the reason why I believe that happened is because when you're in the trenches, when you're so new to the diagnosis, when you're living in the fear, when you're choosing what you're supposed to do, yes, you find the proof, but most of these people are so far removed from their story because it's been 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And you don't hear somebody that's in the trenches with you, that is living in the possibility, not waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I believe that's why I was given this radical remission so early on, not even at the 2-year mark.
Wow. Yeah. And you're willing to put yourself out there and say, I believe and I know, and I'm not afraid of anything differently. I want to share now while it's raw and yeah. fresh. And you're right, a lot of people that do heal, they want to share, And they do, and it's, but then they don't want to go back and dwell in it,
right,
to live there again. Right. And there is naturally, you don't have to be, you know, Teflon, mm-hmm, toxic Teflon.
Right.
It is okay to be human. It, mm-hmm, is okay to acknowledge that fear may come up, doubts may come up on any given day if you're unresourced, if there's weird astrology, if, mm-hmm, you know, like we may have weaknesses in our mindset for a moment, you know, but to, you know, start to, you're living it as a practice. Mm-hmm. And I think all of your, you know, your curiosity and wonderment and all these lives you've lived, it's like you probably gleaned something from each, mm-hmm, of those experiences that led you to this, you know, journey and unfoldment that you're experiencing today, you know?
Sure.
So it's always on time.
Mm-hmm. Right on time. And even my love for Pac-Man back in high school at my first job at the pizza parlor has come in because that's one of the visualizations, yeah, that I do. I have named my immune system Homeland Security. We have Captain Callie. She is the head of Homeland Security. And each morning I call upon her and I ask her to activate the troops. And I do this in bed before I get up. And what happens is white light goes throughout my body and then the Pac-Men are released. Bright pink, just like the blouse that I'm wearing right now. And I watch them, thanks to Dr. Joe Dispenza, I watch them go through every single piece of my body. And when they are done, they exit and they report to Captain Callie, no threats reported. Mm. And I just see it, I feel it, it's goofy, it's childlike, and it makes the journey fun.
Yeah. But your body listens, you know, we just like the, you know, macro issue is that we've disconnected ourselves from nature. We've literally written our human beings out of the definition of nature, mm-hmm, and we are part of nature. And, you know, our bodies are part of us. They're, you know, they're physical meat suits. We're spiritual beings,
right,
having a physical experience, but there's energetically, we're all one. So it's listening to your consciousness, that your, mm-hmm, cells are listening to your consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And the lights come on.
The lights go ding. So it is. I mean, all of this, you really are like, and beyond, you are the poster child of heal. I'm just going to let the lighting issue be a lighting issue because the lights are coming on in the studio. Maybe that's mom coming in.
Right.
Saying, yes.
Right. Oh, yeah. I feel it through every part of my body. The poster child for possibilities. Mm-hmm. And again, like you can hear it. The emotions come up. Who am I to carry this? Well, I'm Christy Miller and I was chosen. And if I'm going to carry it, let's do it with wonder, with possibility, with being in nature. I have spent more time walking on the beach right outside our home in the last 2 years than I have in the decades that I've lived, mm-hmm, in Long Beach.
Yeah.
I've eaten more vegetables in the last 2 years than I have in the first 57 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Change is possible when we believe and when we tap into our Y power.
I love it. And it can happen so fast. And I mean, all of these things that you're saying, it's like I can think of the point in HEAL that we talk about it, like radical remission and the, you know, nine essentials for healing. You know, we've touched on a version of all of them in your story. And then, you know, Mark Emerson saying, you know, the change and healing can happen in a quantum speed, mm-hmm, so much faster than it took for the cancer to develop, so much faster for the chronic illness to, that's how amazing and awesome our bodies are. It just like Anita Morjani, absolutely at the end of her physical capabilities and had a shift in consciousness, mm-hmm, and a deep connection with source and came back in, and it took, you know, 3 weeks for her body to, yeah, recalibrate. 3 weeks after years of battling. So things can happen so quickly. Thank you so much for having the courage of following your intuition and trusting. And can people work with you? Like if people are listening, you know, I don't know, do you business coach, life coach, mm-hmm. can people with cancer, are you coaching people with cancer? Like, what is your, what is your mission now?
So I am a business coach. What we, and I'm going to continue doing that for as long as it brings me joy. And we are also opening up a division of mindset coaching. And so people can find me right now on Instagram, Coach Christy Miller. However, we have a free event coming up in May all about magnify your mindset. And we are getting a website created. It's not up yet, but we will have that ready for anyone that wants to come in. And if somebody wants to work with me one-on-one and they really want to go deep and they really want to get into the mindset, we can do a VIP day. And they don't need to be in person. I do VIP days virtually on Zoom, and they're really powerful.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, thank you.
Thank you
so much. Guys, if you were inspired by Christy's story, which I don't know how you cannot be, you know, us as podcasters, we need likes and follows and subscribes and reviews. And so please share this episode, do all those things. We are extremely grateful for that support and love. And share this episode, because Christy is truly a poster child of possibility and just an amazing soul with an amazing story that will continue on well into the 90s with Mark hand in hand on that porch swing. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thank you for listening to the Heal Podcast. Be sure to tune in every Thursday for more empowering wisdom and inspiring healing stories. And make sure you hit the follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss that one episode that holds the answer you've been searching for. And please rate and review us so that we can grow and reach more people. Thanks so much, and be well.